Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Church news. This is Wretched Radio. I know, you'd like to have us talk about critical theory, intersectionality, social Marxism. I know that's what you'd prefer.
Would we?
To those people who have been emailing saying, how much longer are we going to be talking about that stuff? Well, the answer to that question will be probably as long as it's a hot issue and we can potentially bring something that is unique to it. If we can't, we don't. If we can't, we won't. Nevertheless, if it has not hit your church yet, it is almost certain that it will. And you would do well to understand the language, the terminology, the way that the chess pieces are being put on the table so that we can do what? Argue well against people with whom we disagree? Not primarily. So that we can lovingly defend the truth. So that we can be leaning totally into our written belief of the sufficiency of Scripture. And so that is why, yep, we have been talking about that stuff a fair amount. It is a big deal. In fact, heard from a number of people who are saying, I didn't think it was. And then all of a sudden on Sunday, it was announced, bang, here we go with social justice issues. So we just do well to understand the issue well so that we can defend the Bible. It is Jesus' church. It is not ours. It is not anybody's but his. And he has determined the rule book by which we must abide. And it is the Bible. And so we seek it to tell us how to deal with these issues of reconciliation, restoration, dealing with issues now of reparations. How do we view those things? Doesn't matter how it hits you. The question is, what does the Bible say about these issues? And so it is, if we can bring something that is helpful, we will. If we can't, we won't. As tempting as it might be. Church news, let's take a look at the, an evangelical political story. Joe Biden, according to Christian Post, courting evangelicals as polls show Donald Trump is slipping with that voting bloc. Now, if you would like to be a political pontificator to know what's going to happen in the election, this is probably one of the markers that is going to help you do that. The evangelical vote. If an individual who is on the R ticket gets less than 81% of the evangelical vote, chances are pretty good they're not going to win. According to some, the current R is slipping. And Joe Biden appears to be wanting to pick up those votes. How? I don't know. He is becoming increasingly, aggressively pro-abortion, even hinting up until the time of birth. What? What? Late-term abortion? Say it ain't so, Joe. But he appears to be just as aggressively pro-abortion as anybody. Nevertheless, he's trying to swoop in on that vote. If you're interested, since 2016, the share of the American population that is white and evangelical has declined by 2 percentage points. That will be a vote changer. A PRRI poll also found that while 80% of white evangelicals said they approved of the job of the president in March, by the end of May, coronavirus business, racial discord, sank to 62%. Among white Catholics, a decline by 27%. Now, that will change an election. That could change who is going to be sitting in the White House, who is going to be as pro-life as he is versus somebody who is aggressively pro-abortion, aggressively pro-marriage, whatever, aggressively pro-gender, whatever that you want to be. If former Vice President Joe Biden is on track for Barack Obama's 2012 numbers, he got 21% of white evangelicals, he's going to win. So if you want to be a political prognosticator, watch Evangelical Christianity. Why do I bring this up? This is connected, actually, to the social justice issue. There has been a movement afoot now for quite a while encouraging evangelicals to consider voting for a party that is pro-abortion, anti-God, because there are other issues that are equally or more important. And furthermore, the Republicans, they aren't making much of a dent on the life issue anyway. So why not? And it appears to be working. John Roberts not helping, by the way. I thought this was kind of a no-brainer piece of legislation. Louisiana, the legislation was that an abortion clinic needs to be near to a health facility. So if something goes wrong, that the woman that we are told we care about, she can get more sophisticated health care. Struck down by the Supreme Court, John Roberts being the vote that tipped that scale. Put your trust in chariots and men in Supreme Courts, and you're going to be disappointed. Does it appear that we are going to be on track to overturn Roe v. Wade? That would be an argument that some people, the social justice people, are making in evangelical circles. It's not going to happen. So it's okay to vote for somebody who's a pro-abort? I don't think so, because there are other issues. There are other ways that an effect can be made on the life issue. That is just a fact. Spending, legislation, medical issues, very crafty language that can be used. There's more to it than the Supreme Court. Furthermore, I do believe that we've got other issues now that are making its way into that realm of essentials. Marriage, sexuality issues. I can understand if somebody, I can get that they don't really care about issues like large government, which I don't think is a biblical concept. I think the Bible promotes a smaller government. Nevertheless, I can understand an evangelical going, that's just not that big of a deal. They don't think the taxes is much of an issue. Okay. Marriage? Genders? Life? I just don't know how anybody can say, yeah, I'm fine with that. Time will tell, because the clock, it is a-ticking. Speaking of the church and politics. Look at us. We're church and politics today.
See how we are?
Al Mohler seems to have made a change. He used to be a fellow who would call himself a never-Trumper. Many people love Dr. Albert Mohler, stating Donald Trump is a huge embarrassment, but the alternative is increasingly unthinkable. And it looks like he's changed his tune, at least to a degree, when asked if this was Al Mohler talking. I will not become an apologist for the misbehavior of the president and for what I see are glaring deficiencies in his private and public character. Went on to note that it came up to the upcoming election, the alternative is increasingly unthinkable, stating he's a huge embarrassment, and it's an embarrassment to evangelical Christianity that there appear to be so many who will celebrate precisely the aspects that I see biblically as most lamentable and embarrassing. Nevertheless, that's a big change. That is a really big change. And I'm not sure it's because Donald Trump has changed all that much. Has Al Mohler? Probably not. I suspect what's changed is the Democratic Party. just increasingly anti-biblical. Now, this isn't a political diatribe. This is just a putting something that is a big part of everybody's life, politics, the government. It's involved in all of our lives. Putting that stick next to the straight rule of the Bible. And how does it measure up? Am I suggesting that any party is in perfect alignment with the Bible? Not a chance. But there is one right now that is so crooked that it doesn't even come close. When they applaud that they're going to take God out of their platform, when they boo at the Pledge of Allegiance, yikes. Tick, tick, tick. Time will tell. It does appear, however, for whatever this is worth, that evangelicals are not as excited about the president as they once were. For whatever reason, we will see in the fall. Just one little commentary on this political issue. Christian, will your walk be changed if on November 4th, 5th, whatever it is, we have President Joe Biden? This is Wretched Radio. And now a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
Wretched's Millennial Initiative is on a roll. We want to reach this generation with a new TV show aimed directly at them. John Fabares will be the host of Road Trip to Truth. That goes right into the lion's den, so to speak. John will be on the road at university campuses talking the issues that affect them most, sharing the gospel and handing out copies of What Time is Purple. And you get to be the fly on the wall, so you can better understand how to reach out to this anxious, depressed, lost generation. Road Trip to Truth with host John Fabares is just a part of our Millennial Initiative. And remember, all we do here is made possible by our wretched gospel partners. Not only do you help us keep the lights on, but your generosity is what helps us reach out to the lost with the gospel. If you're not a Wretched supporter, would you consider becoming a gospel partner today? Go to wretched.org/donate for all the details. And let's reach millennials together. Wretched.org/donate.
Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, self, when Friel encourages us to support preborn at preborn.org/wretched by providing as many ultrasounds as possible for women who are experiencing a crisis pregnancy for just $28 per ultrasound, it feels so financial, so cold, so detached. So permit me to personalize my plea.
Hi, my name is Isabella.
Hi, my name is Victoria.
We are 6 years old. Thank you for helping us.
A $28 ultrasound. Two lives saved. This isn't just about $28. This is about real human beings. Mommies see that it's a baby in their tummy. They hear the gospel. Daddy hears the gospel. Babies are saved. Souls are getting saved. Please consider supporting Preborn with as many ultrasounds as you can. Preborn.org/wretched.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. heartsforthelost.com.
your reformers. Martin Luther was a German monk and professor who was plagued with doubt about his salvation. When he finally read the Bible for himself, he rediscovered the doctrine of justification by grace through faith. His bold witness for biblical truth was the spark that ignited the Protestant Reformation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. Wow. That was really a professional enhancement to the program, wouldn't you say?
Right there.
That's pretty much all we got. This is Wretched Radio. A couple of surveys of interest to you, evangelical Christian. When are your compatriots going to start returning to church? Apparently no time soon. Survey says most Americans are not comfortable going back to religious services. American Magazine, the survey from the American Enterprise Institute showed 64% of Americans said, I'm a little uncomfortable or very uncomfortable for in-person worship. That might be a little bit of a comfort to you, dear pastor, if you've been wondering, why aren't people coming back? It's because they appear to be scared. This is a statistic that I think, while you can argue with it, disagree with it, I know you've got an opinion about it, at least it might help us to understand where is everybody on Sunday morning. Now, the bad news is, it doesn't appear they're actually attending church online either. First of all, you can't. All you can do is watch church, but you can't really be a part of the church unless you are there in person. We are interactive people. We're relational people. And the church was not intended to be done via pixels. As clear as the image might be, that ain't church. That ain't communion because you're not in union. You're not with one another. But another survey stating nearly half of churchgoers say they haven't watched any online service in the past 4 weeks. Uh-oh, George Barna. They haven't watched online service for a month. And among those who have, only 40% said that they've been watching services from their own home church. Uh-oh, that ain't good. Mike Fabares and I were having a conversation just as the whole COVID business was hitting. And to walk a mile in a pastor's shoes, I'm telling you, it is a good thing to do. Up front, demonstrating some wisdom and some foresight, he said, I'm very concerned about how this is going to shake out and patterns that develop for people and how they start thinking about the church and viewing the church and will they return to the church. Well, this has been extraordinarily hard for pastors. Perhaps you've been under the impression, well, they're pretty much lollygagging. All they need to do now is just preach that Sunday morning service. No, they have not. They've been working hard. There are still situations. In fact, there are more acrimonious marriages than ever before. There are still hospital visits to be made, if they can be made. These men are struggling with how to deal with these issues.
Sinuses?
I don't want to get this wrong because we're a radio program and we never get anything wrong. I received an email from a pastor in Oregon, which you think is something that's inside of your body. No, this is a state that's just north of California, Oregon. Apparently, there are some rules there. There are some laws that are there that are in place that are causing other evangelicals to say, I don't want to be going back to church anytime soon. Apparently, there are some kind of tracking laws that exist where if you go to church, they register that you're there, and the government, if they want to check on you, can find out who's been going to church. So if you're somehow in violation of whatever the COVID practices are in Oregon, they would have some legal access to you. And some people are concerned, hey, what if they come after me and my family? Or they say that I'm a bad parent. Will they come after my kids? Now, whether that is a genuine concern or not, nevertheless, it appears to be for some people. And now this elder needs to deal with it. And this issue is causing a whole lot of strain on your pastor. And the statistics that I'm seeing here are not encouraging. Recent polling data from the personal growth platform Glue, thousands of church leaders showing there's little consensus on when it will be safe to gather again in public. Nobody seems to know whether it is genuinely safe or not is irrelevant at this point. It is perception that is everything. I know you've got a perception, but so does everybody else, and a lot of people aren't on the same page with this deal. Only 21.5% of pastors said a low community level of coronavirus cases would be a good time for them to reopen their services again. Well, right now, coronavirus cases are going up. It appears in most instances, deaths are still going down. Now, some people are speculating it's a milder strain of coronavirus. Maybe, nevertheless, people are scared. And they're not going back to church. Some 17% said when social distancing and stay-at-home guidelines are lifted. 14% said when local businesses are open. None of those things have happened in totality, and even when they do, people aren't responding and going back. There is a great deal of fear. Here's a question. What would your attitude be toward a church member who is afraid to come to church for a different reason? Because right now, there's animosity that is taking place inside of a lot of evangelical churches over this issue. Wear a mask, not wear a mask, distancing, do we bump elbows, are we coming back, are we opening up, how many services are we doing, how close do we sit with one another? Everybody's got an opinion. Now, let's just say for fun that you're one of the people who thinks that this is overblown and unnecessary, and there are many. And somebody doesn't want to come to church because of it. Or they insist, I'll only come back to church if everybody wears an N9 mask. Are you annoyed with that person? What if it were a different reason? What if it was because they feared getting into a car accident? Well, what if they had some sort of phobia where they just didn't want to go outside? Would you be angry at them? I suspect not. So I wonder if maybe we need to see this issue that people, whether it is grounded in reality or not, is not the point. The reality is there are evangelicals who are scared. And I think we would normally have some patience for those folks, but right now it seems we don't have as much. Another 8% noted the opening of local restaurant seating would be a good sign to reopen. That's not happening. Some 15% required all of those conditions to be met. Another 10% said, just not really sure when it's going to happen. So don't expect churches to be filled anytime soon. Most Americans aren't comfortable going back to religious services. Now, this from American Magazine in this particular study, 64% said, I'm kind of nervous about this whole shebang. By the way, 72% of Democrats said they are at least somewhat worried about a household member becoming infected. Only 43% of Republicans said the same. I don't know what to do with that statistic exactly, but I sure did think it was interesting. It appears COVID has actually fallen along political lines.
Yeah.
I suppose there's an explanation. 61% of white evangelical respondents said they were very comfortable going back. So evangelicals led the way saying, I'm more comfortable going back. That also is interesting, isn't it? Ooh. One wonders why that is. Why are evangelicals less confident that this is a threat than other people groups? I'd love to think it's because of their rock-solid belief in the sovereignty of God. But I suspect there might be other issues that are involved with it, like conspiracy theories. In fact, speaking of conspiracy theories, was reading an article on the website. Is that close enough of a cited source for you? I was on the internet, and I read and somebody was talking about how increasing numbers, I think it was something like, it was a decent journal. It wasn't like a flaky place. Nevertheless, the number of conspiracy theories that seem to be taking root inside of evangelical circles, where they're believing them more and more and more. Speaking of coronavirus and the church, in Virginia, huge fines for churches and ministries that violate whatever the programs are that they've got in place. Yeah,
Since when does the church have, does the state have a say in how I worship? Roughly. March? Are you figuring April?
Well, whether it's, whether they actually have constitutional rights to do that or not, I'm not a constitutional lawyer, don't know. But I think most churches, I think, throughout the COVID business, they said it seems reasonable. Now, when do you know when the church is being targeted for these things? I think when it's just the church being targeted. If it's every religion, and if it's fair across the board, and I know there are a bunch of people that are annoyed by this because, well, they do seem to be able to do some things together in groups and not in others, like, you know, riot and loot and burn down 1,500 buildings in Minneapolis, which apparently is the actual statistic of the number of buildings that burned down in Minneapolis and St. Paul. 1,500?
Yep.
That's a protest? So we see inconsistencies. I know that there are evangelicals that are starting to wonder, are we indeed being targeted? Each church is going to have to figure that one out. It just seemed that when initially we were doing the right thing, now increasingly more disagreement and more opportunity for evangelicals to split over social issues. This is Wretched Radio.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The Mission Ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text. An effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the Mission Ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the Mission Ball. Go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. If you have your prayer list out, Islamic militants have abducted 4 international aid workers and a private security worker in northeast Nigeria. In a video posted Monday by Reuters, each of the hostages identified themselves and mentioned the organizations they worked for, including Action Against Hunger, International Rescue Committee, and REACH. While the hostages didn't directly reference either ISIS or Boko Haram, they identified their abductors as soldiers of the Khalifa, a phrase often used to describe the Islamic State rather than Boko Haram. Nigerian police have largely abandoned more rural areas, settling on an approach of defending major cities known as super camps. Despite claims that the strategy is working, significant portions of Nigeria, including countrysides and major roadways, are now considered extremely unsafe. In Virginia, a Christian photographer filed a federal lawsuit this week seeking to overturn a Virginia law that would force him to take pictures at same-sex weddings under the threat of $50,000 to $100,000 in fines. At issue is the Virginia Values Act, which was signed by Democratic Governor Ralph Northam in April. It prohibits unlawful discrimination because of sexual orientation in places of public accommodation. It defines public accommodation as all places or businesses offering or holding out to the general public goods, services, privileges, or advantages. Virginia law permits a civil penalty of up to $50,000 against first-time violators, up to $100,000 for each subsequent violation. The law went into effect Wednesday. Alliance Defending Freedom filed a suit against Virginia's Attorney General and another state official on behalf of Chris Herring, who owns Chris Herring Photography. The suit states that Herring's a Christian who derives his views on marriage from the Bible, the denominational teachings of the Southern Baptist Convention, and other Christian leaders, pastors, and theologians that Chris admires. His formal policy, it adds, is to only offer wedding photography services celebrating weddings between one man and a woman, and to decline any photography requests celebrating any other weddings, including those for same-sex engagements or weddings. The suit says the new law violates Herring's constitutionally protected religious and free speech rights as guaranteed by the First Amendment. ADF Senior Counsel Jonathan Scruggs said in a press release that artists shouldn't be censored, fined, or forced out of business simply for disagreeing with the government's preferred views. Refugees in Greece have decided to assist churches in South Carolina that had supported them in the past. When the coronavirus hit, refugees at camps in Lesbos, Greece, started making masks. Once they made enough for everyone who lived in the camp, they decided to make more for people from several churches who had come to serve there. They would send thousands of masks to church members in South Carolina, according to WLTX Television. According to consultant Robbie McAllister, close to 300 people from the churches had ministered in the Lesbos camp over the last 3.5 years. He helped distribute the handmade masks to churches across the state. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Yeah. God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is giving. All Christians are commanded to give, but God has given some an extra measure of generosity so that they can give generously, knowing that God will provide for them as they work to provide for the needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel,
the non-constitutional lawyer at your service. This is Wretched Radio. I don't know where the government gets the right to tell churches what to do. I don't know.
I don't mind that they can urge us.
They've done more than urging.
They've gone past urging.
They've gone into legal ramifications now. But the churches overall, they looked at the situation and they believed what the experts were saying. Whether they have turned out to be right or wrong, that's not the point.
See, only I have no problem with churches deciding to close.
Yeah.
I have the problem that if you decide not to, now you're all a criminal right. And there are penalties
okay.
exacted.
Well, let me see if I can help you. Please remember, I'm not a constitutional attorney. There was another health crisis in our country. It's a water issue. And that the water, if the water is used from, say, Monday to Wednesday, for any purpose, it could cause the entire water source to be contaminated. People get sick and die. Okay?
All right.
Would you be okay with the churches saying, all right, everybody, we can't use water from Monday to Wednesday?
Wait. What if we can't use water from Sunday to Wednesday?
Yes.
And so, therefore, we can't baptize.
No baptism. Yep. No. Okay. Better. Thank you, Joey, who apparently is a constitutional lawyer. Okay. I recognize it's not the same thing.
Once again, no, I would have no problem with churches saying that.
But what if it was what they were doing was a genuine health risk to the rest of the population?
I'd fill up the baptismal on Saturday.
Okay, Joey, this is about more than baptism here.
When everything is it really?
Or I'd
when,
sprinkle.
when
well, it probably means more to Lutherans.
Than when things
believer baptism.
When things, I know where I'm going now. It's. Most of the country that they could shut down, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes. So your one place of actually being with people, the one thing you could do, your only choice would have been either go to church or don't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're, say, old, fat, and have asthma, you may not go to church.
I get all of those things.
The fact that they make it a legal problem, that's what annoys me.
I understand that it annoys you.
Because most folks would do what they think is best for themselves and their community.
Not so sure that that is the case. Not sure that's the case.
Okay.
And so whether they should have been or not, I get that. Because here's the problem. We don't know exactly what the right thing is to do. I mean, have you studied masks?
Hence, shouldn't the people... In a
be the ones making the
free democratic republic
but
see, be allowed
this,
to make
now
that
this
decision?
Goes back to whether or not you think that the government was targeting churches for the sake of any sort of prosecution or for persecution. And I think we can say, well, no, they shut down a lot more than churches. Were they consistent? No, absolutely not. Were there some rogue moves that were made? Yes. But my only point was, I think the churches initially, they all said, okay, we get that. We don't want to cause people to get sick. If it were a water issue, I know the churches would stop using water. Hey, you've got the right to use water. Right, but it could hurt people. Therefore, we are going to obey the request to not use it.
And you think most churches wouldn't have done that without some sort of threat hanging over them?
The analogy limps, I grant you.
But
I think the key issue is Phil
Johnson
actually helped
with this. In the beginning, I think most churches would have closed down anyway.
Well, we don't know the answer to that, but I'm not sure that ultimately
matters. Well, we don't know anything
about
this yet.
I think the issue is if the church is being targeted by the government, that should cause us to start going, all right, hold it. There's an issue here. We are being targeted. But when sporting events, when they're willing to not do college football in the fall and give up billions of dollars in revenue, I don't think they're just targeting the church. I think
that's another religion they're targeting.
You do have a point, Joey. Let's get back to these statistics, shall we? This isn't good. 6 out of 10 Americans reject idea that human life is sacred. Uh-oh. That ain't good either. Cultural Research Center for Arizona Christian University. Only 39% of Americans said they agree with the statement, human life is sacred. No surprise, living in a post-Christian world, the word sacred is defined by having unconditional intrinsic worth. Well, not sure that's how I'd define the word sacred, set apart, distinct. I'm not sure it has really to do with worth per se, intrinsic or otherwise. Holy is a determination that is made by God. Something can be consecrated for a holy purpose, but God is really the one who says what is sacred or not. Nevertheless, it demonstrates that America's understanding that human beings are image bearers in the likeness of God, ain't good. I suspect a lot of that, believe it or not, comes from Charles Darwin. Say what?
No.
The idea that human beings no more intrinsic value than a plant, a Coke can, or a zebra. No difference. Why would people think that we are unique, special, and worthy of protection inside of the mother's womb? 60% of evangelicals and born-again Christians said they agreed life is sacred. Wait, let me just read that again. 60% of evangelical born-again Christians think life is sacred.
Yep.
Excuse me, I'm just going to scratch my head for a moment.
Demonstration. I wonder where the other 40% are?
That's not a positive statistic for life. And if I might, one more reason to consider supporting preborn ministries. Because the battle, it is a raging, no question about it. And we need people to see that it is a human being inside of the mother's womb. $28 for an ultrasound gets the job done. Women see that it's a baby. 80% of the time, they choose life. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched. 46% of Pentecostals, 45% of Protestants, 43% of Roman Catholics agreed life is sacred. They used to be a pro-life party. That's shrinking too. Meanwhile, 12% of respondents said they believe that people are only a material substance, biological machines. Another 12% said they believe humans are part of the mind of the universe.
Ooh. Huh?
Uh-huh. While most do not believe life is sacred, 69% of respondents concluded that people were basically good. Okay, hold on a second. That's another problem.
That is. I've met people.
Okay, this is just going to sound absolutely crazy. So just bear with me on this one. 69% of people believe that people are basically good. Now, that kind of bad theology, now this is going to be just way out there wacky. Just crazy thought. That's the type of thinking that leads to like wanting to defund and dismantle the police. It's crazy as that sounds. And there are people, they don't want it just defunded. They want it dismantled. By the way, I'm not sure if this is the most ironic article of the day. Hold on, I've got to get the statistics for you. Minneapolis police, of course, you do know that they decided let's defund to a degree the police. Well, guess what? The city council members who made that decision, they need Secret Service because they're receiving threats. And now they are spending $63,000 on private security details. Now, it appears that it's coming, by the way, from all sides, incidentally. Mm-hmm. Does anybody smell some irony here? It's $4,500 a day in taxpayer dollars. Now, this was actually written, that's a few days old. So they're probably pushing about $100,000 spent to protect the lives of the city council members who defunded police. The new proposal would eliminate the existing police department and instead create a department of community safety and violence prevention, which will have responsibility for public safety services, prioritizing a holistic public health oriented approach. I think this demonstrates already that ain't going to work. One council member told Fox 9, I don't feel comfortable publicly discussing the death threats against me or the level of security I currently have protecting me from those threats.
Never mind.
When you've got bad theology, it shows up in bad policy. However, we might have a competition here for the most ironic story du jour. Also, the most ironic story of the day. See if you can catch a whiff of this one. This is from Christian Headlines, courtesy of the editor-in-chief for Yahoo Music, joining another journalist in saying the Star-Spangled Banner, which is known as
the National Anthem,
should no longer be played. Why? Because Francis Scott Key, apparently, he owned slaves, and he said things that were, yeah, they were pretty racist indeed. They are a distinct and inferior race of people, which all experience proves to be the greatest evil that afflicts a community. So people are saying, therefore, that disqualifies us from singing the song that he penned almost, well, we're pushing near to 200 years now. No, it is 200 years now.
Oh, yeah.
Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. They want to replace it with, get ready for this, Imagine by John Lennon. Imagine by John Lennon.
What's the American
irony? Imagine there's no heaven, no hell, no countries. Hey, without a country, you can't have a national anthem. Therefore, Imagine would be a terrible national anthem because it would be going against what it's singing about. Did you expect any sort of intelligent consistency in our culture these days? This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us today. Always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day with us at Wretched Radio. Have you bookmarked? Have you checked out? Have you become a regular at the home of all things wretched? Wretched.org. It's where all things wretched live on the interweb. And I do mean all things. Full 60-minute Wretched Radio episodes, 30-minute Wretched TV episodes. There is our Wretched store with over 40 amazing resources like Jesus Unmasked, Drive-By False Teaching, and of course our latest evangelistic booklet, The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs That Jesus Is God. All those terrific resources are just waiting at the Wretched store. If that's not enough, and it hardly ever is, there's the Wretched Library, where we've hand-selected a whole bunch of great videos, all arranged by topic. From abortion to pneumatology to worship, it's all waiting at the Wretched Library. If you're able and you're not a gospel partner, would you visit wretched.org/donate while you're there? Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
And in the meantime, while we in the West are still experiencing struggles and challenges courtesy of COVID in Eastern Europe, the effects have been even more profound. Nevertheless, Tomorrow Club's continuing their great ministry work in European countries.
Right now, Tomorrow Club leaders are putting together more than 2,000 care packages to deliver to the neediest families in the towns and villages we serve. The packages will provide enough food for a couple of weeks, basic food items like buckwheat, macaroni, rice, canned meat, oil. There's even a package of candies for the kids and, in some places, seeds for the garden. And because most of these packages will be going to unbelieving families. Along with the food items, there'll be a simple gospel presentation.
Would you please consider supporting Tomorrow Clubs at this time? Wonderful gospel ministry reaching the poorest of the poor in Eastern Europe. Please learn more. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
It's amazing, isn't it? With all the TV channels and streaming services, how little there really is to watch on television. Well, what's worth watching? So, with most folks stuck inside a whole lot more right now, you've probably run out of stuff to watch on Netflix. Well, look no further. Wretched has got you covered. Wretched TV. Visit wretched.org/TV for over 2,600 episodes of sound biblical teaching. You'll see live witnessing encounters, hear topics ranging from pneumatology to abortion to counseling, and hear relevant topics in the Christian community. Wretched.org/TV. So do yourself a favor. Take a break from the multitude of channels and all the streaming services that offer, well, really nothing, and binge watch Wretched TV instead. Visit wretched.org/TV for all things wretched. That's wretched.org/TV. Now, where's my clicker?
Books of the Bible. Haggai was a prophet around the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. When the efforts to rebuild the temple had stopped, Haggai encouraged the people to continue and reminded them of God's presence among them and the importance of assembling together to worship. When you consider your priorities, give careful attention to the worship of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wait, maybe Just maybe this gives us a hint as to who's going to be the next president. That's right. This is Wretched Radio. Just looking at some statistics about the attitudes of Americans, how they feel about going out into the world, breathing air outside of their home, going to church, going to a voting booth. 45% said they would feel comfortable going to their place to vote. That means 55% wouldn't. And according to these statistics from this same resource that are presented in AmericanMagazine.org from the American Enterprise Institute, more Democrats think that there is a threat with COVID than Republicans. And so if 55% are scared, that means more Democrats aren't going to go to the voting booth. That is why we usually don't talk about politics here on Retro Radio, because that's all I got for you right there. Studying these surveys, it looks like we should not be surprised when our pews are not filled anytime soon. Most Americans are still afraid. And this is going to cause a fair amount of fighting inside of the church. You add to that social justice issues, and you've got yourself a cauldron. This is a simmering issue. I was speaking to a Presbyterian the other day. That's right, having fellowship with a Presbyterian. Sure, he's got it all wrong on the whole paedo-baptism business, which I say with confidence because for some reason, Joey the Presbyterian just stepped out of his chair. But nevertheless, he was saying that his church, looking to exit the Presbyterian Church America because the social justice issues are raging inside of the PCA. They're raging inside of the Southern Baptist Convention. They are raging inside of the Gospel Coalition, Together for the Gospel. These issues are bubbling everywhere. And I would simply encourage you to think through with as little emotion as you possibly can, because you no doubt have an opinion on both of these subjects, probably strongly held convictions at this point. Are these essential issues? Are these issues worthy of division? Now, please note, regarding social justice, it could be an issue. And here's how you know the difference. Indicative versus imperative. Indicative versus imperative. Let's just say, stole this from Neil Shenvey, let's just say, for the sake of argument, doing justice is a part of the gospel, because that is the argument these days. Nobody's explained it. Nobody's said exactly what it looks like. Some high-profile evangelicals saying, I'll never preach the gospel again without social justice involved. I don't know what that looks like or sounds like, but what is doing justice? It's an imperative. Do it. In other words, it's a law. To do justly is a command. It is an imperative. It is a law. What did Martin Luther say? Actually, he said many of these things, but nevertheless, one of the identifiers that he said that distinguishes the difference between true and false Christianity, true and false religion, is the distinction between law and gospel. Knowing what is law, what is a command, and what is of grace, we cannot blur the line at all, or it's no longer grace. One issue for Paul in Galatians was enough to blur the line. Get circumcised. Nope, you cross the line. You're now a work system, and that's not of Christ. That's anathema. Question, what is the gospel? Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. That's an announcement. That's an indicative. It's all done. You get it as a gift from God, not of imperatives, so that nobody can boast. Doing justice is an imperative. The gospel is an indicative. When we try to smush social justice into the gospel, what have we done? We've blurred the line between law and gospel, and all of a sudden, we do have an issue that is rising to the level of essential. Having said that, at this time, I suspect most people are saying, well, no, I'm not trying to make it a part of the gospel. It's just something we got to be about. We got to be focusing on this. We got to do this. So if it's not rising to the level of an essential, in other words, it doesn't make somebody a heretic if they are a social justice warrior, of course, that it doesn't bleed into the essentials, what are you going to do with that person? Please think it through, because that person is likely in your church. Sound, solid churches have people disagreeing on these issues. How are we going to think this through? This has caused so many divisions historically. Some divisions have been good because they are over essential issues. Sometimes we divide, whether it's denominationally or whether it's as a local body, we divide over things that are not essential. They're secondary or tertiary issues. And because we don't think through, okay, what is this thing that we're dealing with? Because I'm so wrapped up in it emotionally. I so know that I'm right on these subjects, and I am, by the way, that I can't really see you clearly. If you disagree with me, I can't believe it. I can't believe you disagree with me on this. Hold it. What is this? What is this that we're talking about? We're talking about, so far, non-essentials. And yet the church, dividing, fighting, friendships are being ended, suspicion aroused. Uh-oh. Now, let's just say, if I were the devil, that's right, that was my impression of Paul Harvey. If I were the devil, this is exactly what I'd be rejoicing. This is slamming the ball in the end zone, Daddy-O. This is a big win for Satan. He wants this to happen. We need to guard against this. Now, having said that, might there be an issue that causes me to want to divide that is more of a problem than, say, social justice or COVID? Well, here's one for you. If you're a Canadian Baptist, uh-oh, the pastor decided, from now on, I'm going to be a pastrix. So this fellow is now known as June. From the Canadian Baptist congregation, announced that he is now a woman in Toronto. Let's see what the Canadian Baptist Association does about this. Just happened. Using the sermon from The Pearl of Great Price to announce that he's a she. Don't ask me what The Pearl of Great Price has to do with this. I believe, if I understood it correctly, because I couldn't bear to watch it, I believe what it had to do with is that the pearl is knowing your identity, and once you discover it, isn't it wonderful? And because we should sell everything for the pearl of great price, that's what the Bible says, right? Therefore, I'm announcing I'm no longer a he, I'm a she. And you should be too if it makes you happy. So be willing to sell everything to get the pearl of great price, your own gender identity. I'm not really a theologian, but I'm pretty certain that's not what the pearl of great price was about.
You think?
Now, let's say you're in that congregation and that happens. You got big trouble. You've got your pastor announcing that he believes that he's a she. Let's see what their denomination does. That will be of interest. That will be of interest. Another COVID devastation for your consideration, especially inside of the churches. Texas Medical Center. I know that Governor Cuomo wouldn't think this is a big deal because it's not death. But touch starvation is a consequence of COVID-19's physical distancing. We're tactile people. Touch is a big deal. You talk to somebody who is, they do physical therapy, they're chiropractors, doctors, they all know. Many people never get touched. And we're made that way, to be interactive with one another, to touch. There's a sensory thing that is a part of who we are, and people aren't getting it, and it's causing some problems. Touch starvation increases stress, depression, and anxiety, triggering a cascade of negative physiological effects. The body releases the hormone cortisol as a response to stress, activating the body's fight or flight response. This can increase heart rate, blood pressure, respiration, and muscle tension, and can suppress the digestive system and immune systems, increasing the risk of infection. Now, that's a whole lot of potential problems from it. But you've got a lot of people right now who are at home, and maybe they're alone, and they don't get touched. And now they're going to go back to church eventually, And they're not going to get touched. Yikes. Touch helps regulate our digestion and sleep and even boosts our immune system. Hugging can also help our bodies fight off infections, according to a study conducted by researchers at Carnegie Mellon. Although I like Mellon, it rhymes better. University.
The skipper, so too.
The church finally opens and you see one another. Is an elbow bump going to get the job done? Another issue that we are going to have to work through. And by the way, this is another reminder why church can't be done online. Because while we might be scared to touch in person at church, you're definitely not touching anybody online. You're just looking at a pixel. And that ain't touching. And that ain't church. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.